I'm Taz and Angelino.
Welcome into the Hippies and Cowboys podcast, where we are still bringing you the best of the country music world like nobody else will tell it. You just heard Skid Row from Victoria Bailey off her debut album, Jesus, Red Wine, and Patsy Cline. But folks, she has a lot more new music on the way. Her album, A Cowgirl Rides On, is set to release on October 20th, and she already has two singles out off of that project, which includes the title track, which you will get to hear later on in this show. The Southern California native joins Josh and I to talk all about that new album and what it's like playing in that country music scene down there in California. Stick around till the end of the show because we will be playing Victoria's brand new single, Snake Trails, a day earlier than its release. That's right, it don't come out till tomorrow for all of you to listen to. I hope you all enjoy Victoria and her music as much as we did. And as always, thanks for tuning in to the Hippies and Cowboys podcast.
Good.
We were just saying we feel bad because it's 1 in the afternoon here on a Friday. And it's still in the AM there in California, but it's still Friday. Josh walks in with a six-pack of beer. It's like the morning time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should be here. I'm still dipping my coffee.
we're teachers. So we play by airport rules some days.
Airport rules for teachers. And I was just being told that Victoria is a preschool teacher.
No way.
Is that right? I am. I'm off today, so it would be a good day for a beer.
Is preschool in session?
We're in summer camp right now.
So, oh, summer camp.
We have a few more weeks off, but
I gotcha.
Well, you are a saint. I can't do that at grade level.
Me neither, dude. People say that about seventh grade. Yeah. Like, I couldn't do junior high, but I would take junior high over preschool. So yeah. Good on you.
Thank you. I feel like I'm a preschooler at heart most of the time, so it works well. So
that's what I'm told.
Yeah, that's weird because Mike acts like he's like a seventh grade.
Oh, I feel like a seventh grader. But anyways, teacher talk aside, this is like, is August the worst word for you to hear being a teacher?
Yeah, it's scary.
Well,
we technically start in September, so September's
the worst.
Yeah. Like California rolls.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking. You played a show last night with Britt Taylor, one of our friends. Is that your first show with her?
Yeah, it was my first time meeting her. I've been a fan for a while, so.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was a really special night.
And you're just road dogging it through California, it seems like.
Yeah, it's been a fun summer, kind of just like jumping around on a bunch of like little runs. Mm-hmm. But it's been really fun. I am going to Portland in a couple weeks here. I've never been there.
Portland.
For a show. Topaz Farms.
Oh, cool.
And coming back and doing a few more shows here. So yeah, just kind of hopping around until the record comes out. And
yeah, and that record you're talking about drops October 20th. So we got a little bit of time yet. We'll be in the heart of school when that comes out.
Yeah. we'll still be celebrating.
But you already got two singles off of that. We're going to hear one of them in the middle of this episode. And then the third single, y'all got to stick around till the end, because we're going to play Snake Trails last, and that'll be one of the first possible times to hear that one. And I gotta say, that's one of my favorites off of that. Yeah, I'm a sucker for some bluegrass.
Thanks so much. It's my favorite too. It's like super fun to play live too. It's my favorite.
Yeah, so let's back up a little bit. You're from California. Started off with that Jesus Red Wine Patsy Cline as your debut album. So a couple singles before that, for like several years before that. And that was a honky tonk album, I would say. Am I right in that? Kind of more a honky tonk vibe. Not all, you know, some of it kind of old school feel to it. Some honky tonked up. This one has a lot more of a bluegrass feel through it, which is incredible. So my question is, because for us in Iowa, it's always mind-blowing when you hear that kind of music out of the Los Angeles area of California. We don't think of it like that. So how did you go from growing up just south of LA to making this kind of music?
Yeah, good question. I definitely didn't grow up with it. It was something I kind of fell in love with later, like in my songwriting career, I guess. But I grew up with like a ton of different genres of music, but mostly like folk is kind of where I would say I kind of got my, my grounds set in songwriting. And then I really think it's just the people that I met around here and the music that I started listening to and going down south a bit that made me really fall in love with country music and the sound and the storytelling. But we have like a really great pocket of it here. So yeah. Once I found that and started playing with those musicians, and really my good friend Jeremy Long, he plays pedal steel. He's out in Nashville now, but mm-hmm. he produced that record. So a lot of like inspiration and just like sound really came from playing with him. But we have a great scene in LA. We call it Grand Old Echo. I'm sure you guys have or Ben Riddell and that whole scene there, but everybody's mm-hmm. kind of doing more of like a traditional like honky tonk country sound, and so it's like really nice to have that pocket here. But there's very few, like we all know each other and we all play with each other. We have like one bass player that we all share within the county, which is of course so different than if you went to Nashville. But yeah, so I think just falling in love with all of that, I really just wanted to make a honky tonk record, and the songs just kind of all poured out at once, and it was so fun to make. But like fast forwarding to now and this record, I feel like this is really true to who I am live. Like often I'm playing a stripped down set with a string band. I also have just like a huge love for bluegrass and that sound and gospel, and so I kind of wanted to tie all of those things in together for this record, and also just to do something different from Jesus Red Wine Patsy Cline.
I agree. I think the contrast is cool, and those are you got all these different subgenres of country music. I don't know about you, Josh, but two of my favorite are honky tonk and bluegrass, and I do call bluegrass a subgenre of country. I don't, some people don't like that, but
for sure. I can agree with that.
But I mean, that those are my two favorite styles, and there's a lot of, you know, we just saw that come out of California with Jesse. Really?
Yeah.
Jesse Daniel, he has a bunch of he's mostly honky tonk. That's kind of where he lives at, but then he cut a couple honky tonk Tejano, but he cut a couple bluegrass songs, or at least the one on that last album, which is super cool.
I think especially like in talking about a little bit about Jesse and kind of that Bakersfield sound, and maturing as an artist and finding out like different sounds and playing with them, because he was like a punk punk rocker. I think much like you were saying, kind of growing up, I didn't grow up with bluegrass, and
me neither,
you know, finding that out and exploring that sound. I've always kind of just been blown away with that, and so it's cool to I guess listen through some of your discography and catalog, and then see kind of the range that you were able to create with, you add a pedal steel, you add a mandolin, or an upright bass, fiddle, and it all of a sudden starts taking on all these different sounds. But I think they're all country. That's what
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's exciting, just like those little pockets in life, like discovering that music. It just like feels like such a big moment. So being able to like carry that over is just really fun. But Jesse is such a great example of that coming out of California. We're actually going on a little run together in October.
I saw that. And you've gone on several with him before, right?
I haven't gone out with them, but like anytime they've come through town, we always try to hook up and do a show. But we're not going too far, but we're going to Arizona for a few shows.
Oh, cool. You know,
ending up Fresno.
I wanted to do my research for this one, and I actually discovered you through Jesse, seeing you play with him and him post about you and put you on it, or he put you on his Instagram story or something. I was like, that sounds good, and you know, I wanted to do some research for this, so I actually gave Jesse a call.
So
I was like, hey, what do you know about this Victoria Bailey? You have like some inside joke or reference that would freak her out if I said it?
Oh no.
He didn't. the main quote from his was, he said that you're representing California country really well. So
that's an honor.
I thought
Thank
that was
you.
Nice. But yeah, thanks, no dirt. I was looking for dirt, then came up empty.
Careful what you go.
You're looking for something juicy.
No, but he's
Well, maybe after the tour he'll have a different answer.
Yeah. Or maybe I'll come to you getting dirt on Jesse, you know?
No, Jesse knows better.
I thought that was
He's holding it close to the vest. He's not going to show his cards. He doesn't want to get himself in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. But so, you're keeping busy. You got this album on the works. First track, title track, Cowgirl Rides On, came out in April. So kind of a long bit between April and October to space these out. I mean, how much are you hitting the road kind of playing? Do you play mostly songs off this album when you're out on the road, you're not out on the road that much, but when you're playing shows, trying to transfer more into that new stuff? Or
right now I feel like I'm kind of in that weird, like, waiting area until the record comes out, and I've really been doing, like, half and half at shows right now. I feel like maybe when the record comes out, I think it'd be really cool to, like, make the sets more intentional, like, full bluegrass vibe, and maybe just play the rest of it even. But, like, last night we had a full band drums, and it was, like, full-on honky-tonk show, which is so fun, and I have, like, such a heart for that, too. So we're doing, like, half and half, but, like, some of the new songs live right now are, like, a little more of, like, a full band. Yeah. Which is fun for me because I get to hear two different versions of it. But I think transitioning into something a little more stripped down once the record's out will be really fun too. The Jesse tour, I'll be playing as a 3-piece string band. So,
oh, awesome!
I'm stoked for those.
So that's like California, Arizona, kind of all in that area.
Yeah, it's like California, Arizona, like then circling back. About a week long.
All right, so any of our Southwest listeners gotta hop on that. Keep an eye out for that that little run.
Absolutely.
Gosh, my sister used to live in San Diego, and I'd always send her, like, whenever people are coming through, like, you gotta catch this show. I don't know that she ever made it to one. But she's not wired the same as me musically.
Not quite.
But
really in any other way.
Yeah, she's a doctor and
a black sheep.
She moved to California, so she went from one ocean. Now she's in Rhode Island on a different ocean. I like the corn here, you know. Oceans are scary.
I'm scared of the ocean. I grew right by the beach and I never go in it.
Yeah, man, Shark Week just ended. That's some scary stuff.
I heard about that Titanic submarine.
The submarine, I thought you meant the actual Titanic. As soon as I found out about the actual Titanic sinking, that thing's unsinkable.
Hey, that's enough for me, man. Ocean's nothing to mess with. Might as well be outer space.
No.
No. We don't know what's out there.
All right. Anyways, let's get back to some music. We got in the middle here, we're gonna play your title track, A Cowgirl Rides On. It came out in April, and leading off the album here, we'll play this one here. And I know that there's got to be some good backstory. I got some insight that this might be your favorite song on the album, and kind of describes you quite well. So if you want to talk about this a little bit, and we'll play that one and then come back after that.
Yeah, sounds good. I'd love to talk about it. It's definitely one of my favorites, and it was just really fun to write. Kind of like set the tone for the whole record, really, but it was inspired by a book that I read, a true story. This woman in the 70s rode her horse from New York to California, which is like wild to think about, and it was actually pretty common back then for sure. But so the story is just kind of like a little bit of her journey, but kind of tied into what I was going through, and like a little bit of heartbreak that we both shared. And just was like a really, it was like fun to like step into her shoes for the song. And then something really cool happened after it was released. she reached out to me on Instagram, and she was like, I heard your song. Her like publisher somehow got wind of it, and she kind of like said what I just said about her, like hearing the song for her was like came at a really good time. And anyways, we like became kind of like unofficial pen pals, and we've just been writing back and forth about
that's so cool
horses and just life. And she's so sweet, and so it just like was full circle and like just made the song so much more special to me. To anytime I sing it, I have chills now, but it's just so cool. And hopefully we'll get to even meet up. We've been talking about doing a Zoom or something and just hanging out, so it's just kind of wild.
That's so cool.
That's a great story.
Wow. I've not heard of a song inspired by a book before. Have you?
Oh, certainly, but
I can't think of one. I don't know. It's not like I think that's just cool.
And then, yeah, no, I think that whole. I don't know. I did read that it was inspired by a woman who rode her horse across the country, and that itself, I was like, I need to find this book and read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys should. It's called Distant Skies.
Distant Skies. Okay.
It's amazing. Just wild.
And did you grow up with horses, or do you have them now?
Yeah, I have a horse now. My son, Weasley. call him a horse son. I didn't grow up with horses, but I like was always so in love with them, and like both of my parents were terrified, so I never like took riding lessons or anything. But probably like 7 or 8 years ago now, I was like, all right, I'm an adult, I can get myself lessons now. I've waited for this time, and so I started riding. And my mentor, like, she's like my second mom. She's like taught me everything about horses, and she ended up gifting me her Mustang Weasley after so many years of learning with her. So it's like a really like I feel really lucky for my situation. But he's an older guy. He's 19, and he's the best. And I see him every day. I moved out to Orange, which has like a really great horse community over here. So
cool.
It's become a huge part of my life, but I didn't grow up with it by any means. But yeah.
What kind of horse is Wesley?
Weasley.
Weasley?
He's a Mustang. He's named after, because his coat's like reddish, and he's named after like the Weasley family in Harry Potter.
I gotcha.
Yeah, so he's the best. Oh, he's a Mustang. I don't know if I said that.
Mustang, yeah. And so how many hands about?
53. I'm like so bad at like
wait, what? 53? 53 hands?
No, 5'3". 5'3",
15'3". 15'3".
And I don't
know anything about
horses. Like 15, five. So has a 5 in it and a 3. He's big. He's 1,200 pounds.
He's bigger than 5 feet. 5 feet.
I don't know. Don't ask me.
I had horses growing up, but like only a couple, and we got rid of them when I was pretty little. So I don't know a ton of horse talk, but I know that they're measured in hands.
Yeah, I got on a horse.
Okay. I want to say it's 15'3".
15. That would make more sense.
15 would make
sense. 15 would make more sense.
I got on a horse one time, just bareback, like, and you know they say like horses can just sense whatever you're, like a horse can read you.
Yeah,
you know if you're acting,
he bucked you to the moon.
Oh yeah, he knew I was not fit to be riding, and so I just like threw myself on him, and then.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
Well, he actually didn't mind. You know, but like I said, this horse knew that I had no business being on top of him, and he just went thunk and just threw me.
See ya.
And he was almost kind of gentle about it. Like, he was like, but,
just get off.
Like, just get off.
Threw me off. And man, yeah, I don't really mess with horses because they're so big. Like, there's. Yeah.
You're more of a pony guy.
Yeah, I'm like a micro horse type guy.
They call those ponies.
No, I don't mind horses. I just that was a life altering experience. I just said, you know what, I'm not gonna do that
anymore. Yeah, they're intimidating animals. They're massive creatures. It like trips me out most of the time when I'm on them, but
yeah,
they're also just like so intuitive and
they're so smart. Cool. All right, well anyways, we got distracted. But that's we'll just chalk it all up to that's the introduction to A Cowgirl Rides On, and we'll play that one now, the title track and first single off of your sophomore album. So Cowgirl Rides On, y'all enjoy.
She's a drifter, miles from it all, with no one around her or a place to call home. The road west was waiting as she's wandering on, steady in the saddle. Down the dust road she's gone. Through the distant skies, a cowgirl rides on. Through the storm. Some nice folks as she drifted astray, they eased her troubled mind and sent her on her way. Heard the people praise Jesus with their hands lifted high. She don't know what shook her, caught her by surprise. Through the distant skies, a cowgirl rides on. Through the starry night and the lonesome dance floor, she cries through it all. Tried hard to love him, but her heart moved along. She belongs to the prairie, and the river's her song.
That was A Cowgirl Rides On, the first track and the title track. First single and the title track.
Yep.
Off of Victoria's new album. She hasn't left us yet, despite our shenanigans here. Probably should have mentioned this earlier, but Josh is joining us. This is not Garrett's voice. Josh is sitting right next to me on this call.
That's right.
You might know him from The Thicket.
Yeah.
Or our TikTok page.
Both are possible.
Yeah. Or you're a student or cross country athlete at Iowa City West.
There's probably not many of those listening.
But. Hopefully not. I wouldn't imagine. Anyways, we were just thinking while that song was playing that we do this bit on Hippies and Cowboys called Rapid Fires. And I think it'd be a shame, Victoria, if we did not take you through the rapid fire bit. It's kind of ridiculous. None of these questions make a whole lot of sense. So you just got to fantasize a bit off the cuff. Try to think as little as possible. I think that has the best outcome. I thought of this first one earlier. We were talking about the Titanic and the Titanic submersible, and the ocean being a scary place. Okay. You have been given free tickets to either go on a low-budget submarine or a low-budget space shuttle. Which one are you choosing?
Oh, I think spaceship.
You're going on the low budget spaceship.
Goes well quicker.
Well, she already saw the outcome of the submarine, so maybe.
Spaceship. Yeah, I
feel like I've seen the outcome of high budget spaceships. go horrible.
Well, I feel like if you've flown Spirit.
And then choose space. I think that'd be a cool place to go.
Space.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you fly Spirit, you've pretty much already done this.
You got one?
Beer or wine?
Okay.
Or neither?
Wine. I think I'm like a little allergic to beer.
Me too, after
nine of them. I get dizzy and nauseous.
I feel really bad the next day. Yeah. Well, how far are you from Napa Valley? That's in there somewhere, right?
Very far.
Very far?
Very far.
Oh, God. California is a big state.
It's pretty far up north.
Oh.
I think you've never been.
I am also very far from there. like physically and like socioeconomically. And
from Napa Valley.
My mindset's well. No.
I'm not very well versed in California. We had a couple track meets in college in LA. We went there for the Rose Bowl to watch Iowa lose by 1,000. And then my sister lived in California, or San Diego. So pretty much just been LA and San Diego. So other than that, it might as well all be in one spot. But I think we're going, me and you are going soon. We're going in October. We'll be in Monterey. For Rebels and Renegades.
You will be. That's when I'll be in Morro Bay, which is there with Jesse.
Oh, that same time?
Yeah, like early October will be right there in Central Coast.
Well, we'll have to check those dates and maybe adjust some flights.
Get in our Tesla.
I don't think they're getting us a Tesla. Anyways, let's say next rapid fire here. These are never rapid, at least on our end. You're doing a great job. We're doing a horrible job at the pace. If they were making a movie about Victoria Bailey, what actress or actor would you want to play you?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know. I don't know. Okay, you guys want to hear something funny though? This could be the answer.
Okay.
I never get like, you look like this actress. Like, I don't get that often, but the only times that I have, I get, what's her name? Shelley Duvall from The Shining.
Oh, oh God. No, like, don't pick that.
That's the only time I've been compared.
What?
So maybe she'd play me.
That,
do you guys see it?
Man, just pick like Jennifer Aniston or something.
Oh, I don't, how do you react to that? Is
I don't even know.
Do people say it like it's supposed to be a compliment, or
I think so. I don't know how to take it.
Well, I assume she's not always like scary looking. Like probably in real life, she's.
I mean, I don't think she's that scary looking. She's just like looks really stressed out in that
yeah.
movie because there's someone trying to kill her the whole time.
Right.
Maybe it's when I'm stressed. That's when it comes out.
Oh, jeez.
When you wake up and there's two twins riding tricycles down the hallway.
There's someone plowing through the bathroom door with a pickaxe.
Yeah. That's my dog. Anytime I try to go to the bathroom, it's my dog at the door.
Yeah. Is his name Johnny?
No, it's Taco.
Dang, that's a way better name.
That's cute.
All right, Josh, you're up.
Oh, I'm back up.
You're back up.
Hippies or cowboys?
Ooh. That's an OG one, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Are you team hippies or are you team cowboys?
Oh, man. I think team hippies. They're all looking out for us.
That's bad. I hate to be the guy, but I'm going to direct you to the title of your upcoming album. Hey, cowgirl. Right.
They're both too great. How do you pick one?
Yeah, it's actually...
It's a catch 22.
I was thinking...
Is that right?
I was thinking a lot recently about the hippies and the cowboys with all this new music that's been coming out between Jason Aldean's unfortunate work and Tyler Childers' song. And a lot of internet comments and so on and so forth. And I saw this Willie Nelson video, and he was talking about just...
Oh, like, yeah.
This is like... He's like, I do not care about any of that stuff. Just be a good person. And
yeah.
I was like, that's a pretty well a hippie approach.
Willie Nelson is a hippie.
Yeah, but also a cowboy.
He's the best hippie cowboy.
Yeah. He's a hippie and a cowboy.
Yeah, and I think that's... The more true hippie and the more true cowboy, air quotes, cowboy, that I've ever met, they have a lot of that mindset of just, like, not too concerned with all that sort of stuff. So, I think I'm team hippie. That's only because that horse threw me off. But, yeah, I like that answer. Hippies or cowboys?
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. Last one for me. If you were stranded, this is a cliche question, but if you're stranded on a desert island with a generator that never dies, that's plugged in to a record player,
ooh.
And you only get one record, what record would you want to have spinning?
Until it turns.
I'm really bad at keeping my questions short. There's got to be a faster way to say that.
Yeah. You only get to listen to one record.
Gosh, yeah. Maybe like... That's a tough one. Something fun, because it'd probably be like a pretty sad sliver in time.
Stay away from Ben Pye.
I feel like Merle Haggard... like would keep me company well, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure which album, but I feel like that would be a good soundtrack to being stranded.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, that's fair. I like that.
Yeah, you can't do a sad one, dude.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're gonna be sad enough. You can probably write your own sad songs while you're out there.
Yeah.
I'll finish with a question that we've talked about recently a little bit, and that is that a few artists have mentioned recently. What song, or is there a song that you wish you wrote?
Ooh, yeah.
Or like, not that you wish you wrote, but like, you're just like, dang, that is such a great piece of songwriting that I wish I would have thought of that.
Yeah, that's funny you ask, because I actually talked about this last night at the show. I cover a song written by one of my best friends, Corey Adams. It's called End of the Line. And I recorded it for my record as well as a cover on there. But I always start off the song like, I wish I could say I wrote this song I'm about to play, because it's just so good. but that's like what comes to mind for sure.
That's great. You had a perfect answer. I'm gonna have to go check that out. End of the Line, huh? And it's gonna be on the new End album.
It's gonna be on the new album, and then his band is called Moonsville Collective, and so they have it recorded and out as well.
We'll have to check out that.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody listening should check that out as well.
Absolutely.
Well, Victoria, you've made it through rapid fires.
Not
first,
so
first rapid fire.
That wasn't so scary.
Oh, that was just part one. Now we're gonna do ACT questions.
You know what? We gotta talk to Derek because he did not put Coulter through rapid fire. Yeah, so I think that's kind of BS.
Yeah, that's
Coulter got off easy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyways, hey, I wanna ask you about. I was doing some Instagram stalking, and I see you got a organization called Little Folk Club that you started up, and it looks like a really cool idea. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's so fun. I love talking about it. It kind of like became a thing all on its own, but years ago, I was kind of giving guitar lessons to like friends' kids and just kids that I teach and stuff. Yeah. And then I was like, it'd be cool to like have some sort of like meetup where we're all together. Like these kids are like so young and just like play music together. So I started doing it at a park where I would just like pretty much put on like a little concert for like these families. There's like maybe 5-6 families there. And then fast forward, and now it's kind of grown into like a really cool community, and I do these like big concerts once a month, sometimes like with my full string band or just by myself, and it's just like this baby folk music rave, and it's so fun. I feel like so much like kids music now is it's so different from what I grew up with. Like we had like Rafi and just like Pete Seeger and like all the good stuff. So
I don't remember what kids' music I listen to.
So yeah, it's just like
my dad was a DJ, so we just listened to whatever the next event wanted to play, and we'd just go through and listen to CDs and be like, I know this one has no skips in it, so I don't know the case.
My earliest musical memory is dad teaching me that the greatest rock band of all time was AC/DC.
Oh gosh.
Like he must have never heard of Led Zeppelin.
Hey, I could respect that. I could respect that too.
I think the first CD I ever had was the Baha Men. It's either that or the Men in Black soundtrack. I don't think those count as kids.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not as good as whatever you're putting them through.
We don't play those in Little Folk Club, but I'm open to it.
That sounds great. I feel
let the dogs out?
And on a mandolin.
Yeah, honestly so fun.
My daughter is 4.
Right.
I'm trying to get a stringed instrument in her hands, and I think that not only does it test your mind and teach you, but oh my gosh, it gives you such a like a creative outlet and something to do anytime, and then also like meeting folks and like there's just so much intelligence that goes around music. And there's a song for everything. Mm-hmm. I can't say enough about music and how it's done so much for me, just not even being a musician but just being a consumer of it.
Right.
Yeah, especially like it's such a beautiful thing to like watch kids just like gain so much from it too, and they're like, I don't know, they're just like so free and vulnerable, and it's like so cool to just like see them take it all in. And
yeah, that's a huge skill to like play in front of someone too. It's wow. So that sounds really cool. I'm gonna check that out. That's on your Instagram, or how can you how do you see more about that?
I have a page for it. I also have a little record that I put out for it. It's called Little Folk Club Songs for Children. And my band and I recorded like I think like 5 songs on it that are just like She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain and If I Had a Hammer, just like super silly fun. That's kind of what we do. We just have these fun like Saturday morning, 10 a.m. like concerts, and it's the best. And if I can convince my band to wake up that early, they come too. It's a good time.
Well, I guess Mags is going to have some new music to listen to.
Yeah, you got
to
get that bumping.
That's hilarious. Awesome.
How often do you bring the music? Like, do you ever sing to your preschoolers? Or, like, incorporate that to your preschool?
Oh, yeah, I do. And I get away with it for, like, the first month, and then they get sick of me. They're like, all right, we get it.
You don't have, like, a school of folk going on instead of school of rock?
No, they're too busy. Like, we're going to nature school, so we're outside all day, and they're, like, in the trees and in the mud, and... Wow. They don't want to hear Miss Victoria sing most of the time.
They'll turn back on that once they're in about, I don't know, seventh grade.
No, my seventh graders don't care what they hate my music that I play in class. Oh, there's like every once they're in a while cool, they'll latch on to one, and it's usually some folky song. 2 years ago, it was John Prine. What song did they really like? It was That's the Way the World Goes Round, because I told them the Happy Enchilada story, so they liked that one. Last year, my kids latched on to Snow Cone Man by Adam Carroll, which is like a folky, almost, I don't know, it's a goofy song, goofy folk song.
I'll play a lot of music in my. I'm also a teacher. So we're all teachers here.
Oh, awesome.
But play a lot of music, and I teach juniors and seniors, and so like Zach Bryan has gotten pretty popular, and so they kind of know who he is, and so I'll be like, all right, like you like Zach Bryan, like listen to this, and my students love the song Foxfire Wine,
nice,
by Pony Bradshaw, and that was like one of the first times. They had heard like steel guitar, and like this year was like the first time they heard steel guitar. They're like, "What is that? Pedal steel?" Like I'm like, "Yeah." Like
oh, so cool.
I had like a whole playlist of pedal steel songs and stuff. And they're, I don't know. It's really weird. They're basically all, you know, all listen to rap and pop music on the radio. They've never heard any of this stuff, and so it's funny that they hear one song. They're like, "I love that. Play more of that."
That's so cool.
And we can add some pedal steel songs to that, because you got pedal steel through your new album here, and a pretty good pedal steel player to boot, right?
Oh yeah, Jeremy Long, he's the best.
Yeah,
he's my hero.
I think I was much like my students. Well, the first time I heard pedal steel and like what it does for some live acts and just like in recording, I'm like, oh my gosh, it changes the whole
cheat code
vibe.
Man.
Yeah, cheat code. Yeah, like, for sure.
Hearing it and then like seeing it for the first time, you're like, what is that person doing?
Yeah, growing up in Iowa, that was not something you. There was probably not very many actual pedal steel instruments in this whole state.
There's a couple. You could probably count them on two hands.
Yeah, people who can play the pedal steel, they're a rare breed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so like you have to have like a math mind for it. Like more so than any other.
I'm a math teacher, and I tell you, I've tried to play one before.
You got those knee levers.
It's a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah, you need a robot mind. Turning knobs and stuff.
Oh boy. Anyways, that's cool, man. A lot of good teacher talk on here, and
teachers unite.
Anyways, we're gonna get to the last song of today and let you get back to your Friday off of work. But yeah, let's get into that. That last song is called Snake Trails, on that new album. Really kind of captures that bluegrass vibe. And like you said earlier, like bluegrass and gospel, like that feeling of the whole album is really comes through really clear, and it's really unique. There's not a lot of, you don't hear that sound very much anymore. You know, I don't know if it's like, it's not quite Alison Krauss, but it's like, I don't know. It just takes me back to a good place.
Like that three-piece string brand, I was really reminded, and you can correct me if I'm wrong or off base here, but I was like, Bella White would go alongside, like I always think of like, oh, a good show together, well, like would be these, like you and Britt Taylor, that's a great concert. Like the music matches up well, and I think, yeah, like not necessarily sounding like Bella, but meshing in that genre.
No, I agree. I was thinking about that
greatly
today at work. How I think this album really puts you in that category of like the Sierra Ferrells of the world, and like the Bella Whites. It just it's sonically in the content of it's right up there as good, if not better than a lot of what they've put out.
And I was curious to get maybe some of your thoughts, as like a lot of people not give us guff, but we do hear a lot that like the representation of women in the genre is lacking, or it's this or it's that. And I can't say that I disagree with that necessarily, but also like the female talent that's out there currently right now playing and making music and writing songs, has there been a better time of representation in country and bluegrass for women than now? And I guess what's your just thought on coming through that? Because I feel like Skid Row, you kind of maybe have some of that, I don't know, maybe you have a story to go with that as far as like what you were told you should be.
Yeah, that's such a great point. I agree with you. I think there's like so many really powerful women right now, like in this genre, and like I feel like Americana is like a good blanket for it all, but I'm like so inspired. Bella White's like one of my favorites. I got to hear her a couple years ago at Americana Fest. I think here in Orange County, there's like definitely not many female like musicians. Like anytime I can't do something, they're like, do you have a recommendation? I'm like, sadly no. Like, so that it's a little bit different here, and for sure with like country music, but
yeah,
in the genre in general, I think there's like really great female acts.
There's another California gal that we've been digging into a lot too, Emily Nenny. I think she's further up north maybe, but
oh yeah, but she's in Texas now.
Oh, she is.
Oh.
Yeah, she came through. We did a show together when she was in town. So she's also, I think, from where Jesse might be from.
She's up in that area, I think.
But we lost her too.
Lost her.
But
is that like in Texas? Santa Cruz is or.
So I don't know.
She might be from Central Coast. I'm not. She's definitely from around
near
here.
San Jose.
California's too bad for me.
She's over there now, but yeah, she's great. They're all just leaving.
Anyways, that was just one of the thoughts I had. Is like, seeing your range. I feel like, and then like, some of these other gals that are just crushing it, and I find myself I wouldn't say it's split 50-50 my listening, but man, I listen to Sierra Ferrell and all these bluegrass ladies all the time. So
yeah, not bluegrass, but Caitlin Butts is crushing it right now too.
Yeah, and blowing up. So I'm excited to add another bluegrass album to the fold here.
Yeah,
in October. Too,
yeah,
so soon.
But yeah, anyways, we're gonna end it on Snake Trails, and there's a lot of the album Through and Through is one you can listen to on repeat, I feel like. But this one just stuck out to me, man. It had a Western movie in my brain, like I could see it play, like I could visualize the song, you know. And it's just a really cool tune, and yeah, I'm excited that it's coming out. For those listening now, it comes out tomorrow, or if you're, August 11th. So for those listening to the album, you can get it here, or you can get it tomorrow anywhere. So I'm excited to get to end the episode on that and kind of hear your story behind it, because it sounded like there's a cool little story. Are you maybe Weasley might have been involved in the making of this.
Very much involved. I always joke, I'm like, I feel like my horse was like part co-writer or something for the song, because we were out. This doesn't happen often with like my songwriting, so you should put a little more effort into him. But I was just riding with him one day and the melody kind of came, and we were like out in the canyon. I'm like, doesn't get much better than this. And so kind of just like poured out of that, and like reading a little bit of like cowboy poetry, and just really wanted the song to feel the way that it ended up. And it's just fun. Like, I just want you to feel like you're on a horse and staying on, Josh, not like flying off, like full riding.
It's really
but it's definitely my favorite too, and I'm so stoked that you guys like it, and I'm excited for it to come out. It's much different than the first two singles. Mm-hmm. The first two are a little more like sad songs.
I'm excited for we love those two.
Yeah. And Josh is a known lover of sad songs.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we're leaving off the second single that's out right now, Forever You and I, which is a sad breakup song. Yeah. But
it makes you feel good though, somehow, you know.
Yeah. like we said earlier, you know, just there's a song for everything.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Anyways, Victoria, thank you so much for joining us on the show. I hope you had fun. I had fun.
Yeah,
it's great. It's great to meet you.
What's that?
What a great way to spend a Friday.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see where the album, you know, takes you next. And definitely, I can't believe that you and Jesse Daniel play a show and I'm not there, so I'm gonna have to catch one of those.
Yeah, if we're in town, we gotta catch that. But yeah, like Josh said, I'm excited about this album too, and I think it's phenomenal. And for those listening right now, mark your calendars for October 20th, because you get the full thing, and there's a lot of good stuff on there. So
absolutely.
But we're gonna leave everything today with Snake Trails, the brand new single, so new that if you're listening to this right away, it's not even out yet. But if you're listening to it on August 11th or later, you can go anywhere. Find the song and put it on all your playlists. This one's Snake Trails. Victoria, thanks again for joining us. Everybody listening, thanks for listening in, and we'll catch y'all next time on Hippies and Cowboys.
That's right.
The gospel is blowing through that wild valley breeze, and my heart's beating heavy, my mind is steady. All right, saddled on my Mustang, warm breeze blowing through my hair. He's riding faster than a pistol, Lord knows we're getting there. And we'll ride through the canyon, Santiago Creek, trot through the snake trails, bring you close to me. I'm bound for the great land, I'm bound for glory. We'll ride through the canyon, where my maker calls for me. Slowly, it paints a golden hue. I'm holding on to the good times, good folks that I knew. The only favor I would ask before I'm called away is let me be a cowgirl again for just one day. And we'll ride through the canyon, Santiago. Chicago Creek, trot through snake trails, bring you close to me. I'm bound for the Great Lake, I'm bound for glory. We'll ride through the canyon where my maker calls for me. Santiago Creek, trot through snake trails, bring you close to me. I'm bound for the Great Land, I'm bound for glory. We'll ride through the canyon where my maker calls for me. Where my maker calls for me. Where my maker calls for me.